All right, we'll say good morning. Today's daf is daf Chof Hey. Just a special thank you to Saeed Haken for sponsoring the breakfast this morning in honor of his daughter, Dr. Yael Haken, coming back to town, starting her Mirat Hashem medical practice here. We wish her much hatzlacha. Happy that the family's all together. You should be zochet to sponsor donuts for many Sundays to come. Mirat Hashem. All right, so today's daf is daf Chof Hey. So we left off on the bottom of Chof Dalid Amud Beis. Remember again, the Gemara quoted the fascinating Maisa of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. That Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, when he would be traveling and it would be raining, see with David, he would say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not fair. The entire world is comfortable and Chanina ben Dosa has to be uncomfortable stuck in the rain. And the rain would stop. And then again, he'd get home and he would say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not fair. Chanina ben Dosa is comfortable. The rest of the world is in a state of, again, of difficulty because there's a lack of rain. It's not fair. And it begin to rain. So once the Gemara began to discuss Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, so the Gemara brings up another Maisa. We stopped three lines up from the bottom. Last two words on the line. Amr. Actually, no. We stopped earlier than that. Rav Acha Brei de Rava Mesai Mishmei de Rav Yehuda. So remember again, the Gemara quoted the idea that if Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa could do this, then what's the point of the Kohen Gadol's tefillah? Because if you remember again, the Kohen Gadol davened in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should not listen to the tefillahs of the Ovrei Jerachim. So remember again, the Ovrei Jerachim and the travelers. So travelers would sometimes have a vested interest in not raining, and therefore Kohen Gadol and HaKadosh Baruch Hu ignore their tefillahs because you have to look out for the collective good. The collective requires rain. Don't worry about what the Ovrei Jerachim say. So the Gemara says, once you spoke about the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol, so the Gemara says, Rav Acha Brei Rava Messiah Mishmei Rav Yehuda. Rav Acha, the son of Rava, would go ahead and say that the Kohen Gadol, in the name of Yehuda, would say that the Kohen Gadol would end his tefillah with the following idea: Lo Ya'adi Avid Shultun Midbeis Yehuda. Rulership should never go ahead and leave from the house of the family of Yehuda. Meaning, what that refers to is even in the absence of the monarchy. So remember again, or I should say, post monarchy, the Nasi, who essentially was the head of the Jewish people, which was also of the Davidic line. So therefore, the Kohen Gadol would daven that the Nasi should continue to be the offspring of the house of Yehuda. The Jewish people should not need to be sustained one from the other, and not from another nation. Meaning that the Kohen Gadol would daven that we should be financially self-sufficient. Interesting, if you think about it, and of all the things that the Kohen Gadol could daven for in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, at the time that he is in, this is Yom Kippur, what is he daven for? That we should be financially self-sufficient. Everyone should be able to support themselves. We shouldn't have to rely on one another, and we still shouldn't have to rely on other nations. Every single day, a bas kol, the heavenly voice comes out and says, Kala olam kulo nizal mishal chanina. Bini, the entire world is sustained because of the merit of Chanina, my son. This is the same Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Listen to this. The Chanina bini, Chanina, my son, dayo bikav charuven me'erev Shabbos li'erev Shabbos. Chanina, my son, he could subsist on a kav of charuvim. A kav is a measure. Charuvim what? Boxer, right? He could go ahead and subsist on a kav of boxer from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos. But it's an incredible insight that although, again, it was the merit of Chanina ben Dosa that provided sustenance to the world, Chanina ben Dosa himself did not need to partake of the abundance of that sustenance. He was fine with just a kav charuvim. Havre Gilu Devisu, I'm supposed to say, is an amazing story. So now when the Gemara says that Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa subsisted on a kav of boxer from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos, what does that tell you? It tells you that he lived in abject poverty. Absolute poverty. Because boxer, remember, is the, I mean, again, most of us have traumatic childhood recollections of boxer, right? To Bishvat, you get the brown paper bag. You're not exactly sure. You're not sure what to do with this. You're not sure if you're getting something good, if you're being punished, right? So the idea is, but boxer really is like the lowest thing on the food chain. So the idea over here is that if Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa is subsisting on boxer, says he's living in incredible poverty. So Gemara tells us about his poverty. Havaregila devisu, lemechma tanura kamale shapsa. his wife, now again, Rabbi Chanina ben Dos and his wife did not want their neighbors to know about, bless you, about the poverty they lived in. Because again, had people known, they would have helped them out. So what would she do? She would fire up the oven every Erev Shabbos, v'shaji ak terasa tap of chafhei, mishum kisufa. And she would go ahead and she would throw something in the oven that would cause the oven to smoke. So it looked like stuff was being baked, so things were being cooked. And she did this because of embarrassment from the neighbors. The neighbors should not know how poor they really were. Havili hach shivivta bishta. She had one really nudnik neighbor. Shivivta bishta literally means a bad neighbor. Amra michti. Let me go see what's going on over there. Yadana de les luvalomidi. I know that Rabbi Chanina ben Dos and his wife have absolutely nothing. And yet again, they're pretending to fire up the oven every Erev Shabbos. Now, you know, we'll say, it's interesting. It doesn't appear that the neighbor was interested in helping. It just appeared that the neighbor was interested in finding out information. So I know they don't really have food, so let me go check out what's going on over there. So what happens? My kuli hai. What's happening? Why is she firing up the oven? Azla v'tarfa abava. The neighbor comes over. She knocks on the door. Ichsifa. Mrs. Chanina ben Dosa is very embarrassed because she knows exactly why the nudnik neighbor is there. And she's going to be embarrassed because the nudnik neighbor is going to go over to the stove, open it up, and it's going to be empty. So what did she do? Va'ayla le'indurna. So Mrs. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa goes, indurna literally means the inner chamber. She goes to the bedroom. She's not going to answer the door. It's avidlu nisa dechazye litanura mali lachma. So what happened? The miracle occurred, and the oven filled with bread. The agna mali lisha, the mixing bowl was filled with dough. So apparently what's interesting, the part the Gemara does not state explicitly, is the neighbor apparently let herself in. Right? So Mrs. Rabbi Chanina ben Dos doesn't answer the door. So the neighbor feels, okay, you know, shtika koda. If you don't answer the door, it must mean that's okay with me coming in. So she lets herself in, and she sees the oven is filled with bread. The mixing bowl is filled with dough. Amr Allah. So again, the nunnik neighbor calls out to Mrs. Rabbi Chanina ben Dos, planisa, planisa. Planisa is actually, it's actually a term of covet. It means a matron or someone of high standing. I see Masa, quick, bring the baker's shovel. Dikacharich lachmech, because your bread is about to burn. Amra Allah, so Mrs. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa said, Af ana lahachi aile. Yes, that's why I went into the inner chamber to retrieve the baker's shovel. Tana, af. So again, I'll say in this version of the story, so again, Mrs. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa realized that an incredible miracle had just occurred, and therefore now again she's going to bring out the shovel. Look at this other version. Tana, there's another version of this story. Af hi lahavi marda nichnisa mipnei shemilumedes benisin. Well, in the second version of the story, she actually did intentionally. See, in the first version, she didn't really go to get the baker's shovel. She went to hide. But once she heard the miracle, she brought out the baker's shovel. In the second version of the story, she actually went to get the baker's shovel. She was so trustworthy. She was so, confident, thank you. Confident that the Ribbono Shel Olam was going to do a miracle for her, that she mamish went to get the baker's shovel, because she was someone who was milumedes benisin. She was someone who saw perpetual miracles. Amar le divisum. And I will say, now, the Gemara, that's the end of that story. Another story. Again, with Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa and his wife. Amar le divisu. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's wife said to him, Ad imas nezel v'nitzta'er kulehai. How long are we going to have to suffer in this abject poverty? Amarla, my novid. So he said to her, what do you want me to do? Boy rachmi, dinesfu lachmidi. So she said, daven to Hashem. Daven to Hashem, let HaKadosh Baruch Hu go ahead and give you something. Bo rachmi. He davened. Yotzesa kamin pisas yad. A heavenly hand extended. V'yavu lei chad kara diptura didava. And what happened? The heavenly hand extended from above and gave Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa a golden table leg. A golden table leg. Okay. Chazya b'chama. Now, we'll say, according to Rashi, it's the wife who has the dream, not Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. So again, that's why if you look over here, if you see in the Hagos Vitziyunim, so in the, I don't know if you have it in your Gemara there, but in the little base, it changes Chazoi, which is masculine, to Chazya, which is feminine, which is according to Rashi. So according to Rashi, so Mrs. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa has the dream. Chazya b'chama. So she saw in her dream the following: Asidi tzadiki de achli ap tura de dava de isle tlas kari. In Olam Haba, the righteous will sit and eat by golden tables that have three legs. And I will say that sounds strange to us because we're accustomed to. But again, in Talmudic times, tables had three legs. That was a normal table, a tripod. Right? It was, again, remember, tables were also generally circular and much smaller. So again, it was three legs. So she saw in Olam Haba the tzadikim have three leg tables. Va'at Ocheles aptura va'ata, ocheles aptura de trei kari. And what happened? And she saw her husband was eating at a table that only had two legs. So what she saw in her dream was that the incredible gift of the golden table leg that her husband got detracted from his olam haba, detracted from his portion of the world to come. So Amrale, she said to him, Nechal lecha de mechal achli kuli alma aptura de mishlam, va'anan aptura de mechser. So she said to her husband, do you want that everyone is going to be eating at a table with three legs? And we, meaning because she assumed that she and her husband are going to be eating, it's going to be a table for two, which first of all is mefurish raya that there's mixed seating in Olam Haba. So I just want to tell you, you can do with this what you want, but okay, if we're good enough in Olam Haba, I think we're doing a chasen also. In any event, so the Gemara says, so Lamaisa, what do you, so she says to him, do you think that all the tzaddikim should go ahead and sit at a table with three legs and we should only sit at a table with two legs? Amralei umayn avin. So it's interesting, right? I guess we're all in the same boat with this. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa says, so what do you want me to do? Right? So what would you like me to do? We're not going to bring that up. Exactly. We're not going to bring that up. So Amralei umayn avin. So what do you want me to do? We should daven that a Kadosh Baruch Hu should take it back. And again, if you can imagine this, so the heavenly hand extended again and took back the golden leg. Tana, the Gemara says, in fact, the latter miracle of the hand taking back the golden table leg was even greater than the first miracle. Why? Because we have a tradition, that the Ribono Shel Olam bestows bracha, he gives bracha, but the Ribono Shel Olam does not take back bracha. So the notion of God taking something back that he had already given was an incredible miracle in and of itself. Chad Beishimshi, so one, again, this story Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, one Erev Shabbos, Chazye Lebarte Dehavi Atziv. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa saw that his daughter was dejected. She was sad. Amr Lebiti Lemay Atziv. Ask my daughter, why are you sad? This is amazing. Amr Le, Kli Shel Chometz Nischalif Li B'Shel Shemen. I made a mistake, and I mixed up the vinegar jar with the oil jar. V'hidlakli Mimenu Or L'Shabbos. And I accidentally kindled the Shabbos candles from vinegar. So she was upset because clearly the candles were not going to remain lit, and she was not going to have candles lit for Shabbos. Amar la, BT, my ichbaslach, listen to this. He said, my daughter, don't be bothered by this. Misha amar l'shemen v'yidlok, hu yomar l'chometz v'yidlok. Right? He who said that oil should burn could just as easily say that vinegar should burn. It was an incredible mussar that we take certain things for granted because they're programmed into the natural world, but we have to remember they're no less miraculous. The fact that oil burns is an incredible miracle. Just because, again, that's part of the teva, doesn't make it any less miraculous. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make oil burn, so Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, he can make the vinegar burn also. Tana, hayadolik vaholich kol yom kulo, the candles remained lit the entire Shabbos, at sheheviu mimenu or lahavdala, until they literally kindled the Havdalah candle from those very neros. Amazing. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, havalei hanach izi. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa had some goats. Amrulei kamaf sidon. His neighbors began to complain that his goats were eating of their produce, that the goats were grazing in their lands. Amr, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa said, ikamaf sidon nechlin hudubi. If my goats are really causing you damage, my goats should be eaten by bears. V'ilo, but if my goats aren't performing any damage, aren't causing any damage, kolchad v'chad tisi le'arta duba bekarnayu. Let each of my goats bring back a bear on its horns. Meaning, let my goats kill a bear and bring back the bear on its horns. La'arta, that evening, I see kol chada v'chada duba b'karnayhu. Each one of his goats brought back a bear on its horns. Okay, that pretty much ended the conversation. So the rest of the following. Havaliyahu shifta, shivavta, excuse me, the kabanya besa. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa had a neighbor, a woman, and she was building a home. V'lo matu kishuri. So apparently they misjudged the size of the necessary beams, and the beams did not extend across the length of the home. Asila Kame. She came from Rabbi Hanina Mendoza. Amrile Banisi Besi. I built my homes. Velo Kamato Kishuroi. But my beams are not long enough. Amrala Mashmecha. He said to her, what is your name? Amrile Eko. My name is Eko. Amr Eko Nimtu Kishreach. Eko, your beams should be stretched. Tana. Higiu Achiyotsu Amalakan Va'amalakan. Miraculously, again, the beams stretched one Amma on each side. Ve'ishomrim, others say, Sinifin Asom. The beams themselves didn't stretch, but miraculously, appendages to the beams appeared. Tana Plimo, Omer Plimo said, Anira Isi Oso Abayis. I saw that home. Ve'ikoros of Yotsos Amalakan Va'amalakan. The beams extended one Amma past the structure of the home. Ve'amrulian people said to me, Bayis Ze Shekira Bichanona Bendosa. This is the home that Rabbi Hanina Mendoza covered with beams. Okay? Bitilos, excuse me, with his prayers. I will say, and just you should know, because we're going a little bit of a faster pace, there's incredible symbolism to each of these stories. They're not just simple miracles. Rabbi Hanina Mendoza performed many miracles, but each of these has a deeper meaning. Rabbi Shah brings down a couple of ideas, but all right, you'll have to do it on your own. Rabbi Hanina Mendoza, Mehechan Havalism, so I will say, and Avi Gemara goes back to the goat story. Where do Rabbi Hanina Mendoza have goats from? We just started out today's daf talking about what? The abject poverty in which Rabbi Hanina Mendoza lived. So how did he have goats? Listen to this. Vaha, furthermore, ha'ani havi. So first of all, vaha'ani, he was poor. Va'od amru chacham, the chacham said, ein megalim behemadaka beretz Yisrael. Well, I said, we'll get to this Gemara one day, about, according to an opinion, you're not permitted to raise small animals in Eretz Yisrael because they graze everywhere, and by definition, they're going to steal from people's property. So the Gemara is asking on two levels, how did he have goats? A, because he was poor, and B, because are you really permitted to raise goats in Eretz Yisrael proper? Amra Pinchas Maaseh, because the following story happened. Maaseh, which by the way also helps to understand why B'nai Gad and B'nai Ruvain also wanted to settle in the Transjordanian lands. Again, they didn't realize this yet, but ultimately they had massive flocks. So whether they realized or did not realize that at some point in time there was going to be problems with livestock in Eretz Yisrael proper, they dafka wanted the Transjordanian lands, which again, were part of Eretz Yisrael, but not initially part of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so the Gemara says, had Rabbi Hanina Mendoza come into goats, Amar Pinchas, there was a Maiso. Maiso, v'avar adam echad apesach peso, v'inichu sham tarnagolim. So we'll say, one time someone was passing by Rabbi Hanina Mendoza's house and he left his chickens. But now again, he didn't tell Rabbi Hanina Mendoza that he was leaving his chickens. He just, you know, hate it when your neighbors do that. They just drop off the chickens. Right? So he just left his chickens there. So what happens? Umatsasan ishtosh Rabbi Hanina Mendoza. Rabbi Hanina Mendoza's wife finds the chickens. Va'amar lo, he said to her, listen, al tochli mi beit sehen. You can't eat from the egg, because remember, they didn't know whose chickens it was. So they had to wait to see if the owner would come and claim them. So what happens? In the meantime, the owner hasn't come back. V'herbu beitzim v'tarnagolim. So mamish again. Again, the chickens begin to multiply. So there's eggs, there's chicks. It's mamish like a zoo. So what happens? Vayum etzaren osam. Poor Rabbi Hanina Mendoza and his wife suddenly again have become chicken farmers, you know, unwittingly. So what did they do? Rama said, this is an important halacha actually in Hashavas Aveda. Umachran. That was a halacha lemaise. If you have an object, if you find a lost object, so the halacha is you have to find the owner. Lemaise, again, however, if the item becomes exceptionally taxing for you to take care of, you are permitted to sell the item to transform the value into something that requires less maintenance. So they sold the chickens, the kanabidemeim izim, and they bought goats. I guess goats require less upkeep than the chickens. Pam achas avar osa adam shavdu mimenu hatarnagolim. So now, sometime later on, the guy who lost the chickens came back around town. Va'amar lechaver, and he said to his friend, "Bekan hinachti hatarnagolim shali." Actually, here, point to Rabbi Hanina Mendoza's doorstep is where I left my chickens. Shari Hanina Mendoza, Rabbi Hanina heard this. Amar yeshlucha b'han simen. He said, "Then tell me, can you give me an identifying mark? Do you have a simen about the chickens?" Amar lo hein nasan lo simen. He gave a simen. Benotel es ha'izin, and he gave, and Rabbi Hanina Mendoza gave him the goats. Hein easy da isu dubi berkarnayu. These are the same goats that again brought the bears back in their horns. So again, it wasn't that Rabbi Hanina Mendoza owned these goats himself, but these were the goats that he was caring for until the person would come and reclaim their property. Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas dechekale milsa tuva. Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas was exceptionally poor. Again, also poverty stricken. Avad milsa, little boss said, avad milsa literally means he did a thing. Now, again, the way Rashi understands it, avad milsa means he bloodlet. He bloodlet. Now remember again, he must have not felt well. So bloodletting was the answer to everything. Now the halacha is after you do bloodletting, remember we saw the Gemara elsewhere explains, you have to eat. Remember the Gemara recommends a very specific diet of fatty meat and red wine. So obviously Rabbi Elazar is poor. He doesn't have he had nothing to eat. Shakal bara dituma. He took a clove of garlic. Vishaji bepume. And he put in his mouth. All he had was a clove of garlic. So that's what he ate. Chalash libe. He became very faint. Now apparently again, could be that garlic is not the right thing to eat after bloodletting. So it could be again the bloodletting plus the garlic. Also not going to get you many friends, right? But so he's weak now. Vinim, he fell asleep. Or probably what it means more, nim, means more than fell asleep. He fainted. V'azur rabbanon l'shalu yebe. So the unbeknownst to what was going on, the rabbis came to ask him some halachic shailos. But Chazyuhu, they saw him, and again, they saw he was almost, bless you, he was almost like in a prophetic trance. Chazyuhu d'kabachi v'chayich. They thought he was crying. They thought he was laughing. V'nafek tzutzisa denura me'apusya. And me'apusya. And they saw that there was light emanating from his forehead. Ki itar, when he came to, Amrule, they said to him, my time akabachis v'chayachis, why were you crying? Why were you laughing? Listen to this. Amrulehu dahavi yosef imi akadish baruchu. It's amazing. Sir Belazar ben Pedas says, I was sitting with God. V'amrule admasai et sta'er bahai alma. And Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas said, Kadosh Baruch Hu, how long do I have to suffer for? This is amazing. Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas is not asking an existential question about human suffering. He's asking a very specific question about what? About his suffering. Ribono shel olam, how long do I have to go on with this? Rabbi said, this is an amazing Gemara. V'amar li, Elazar beni, necha lecha da'apche la'alma me'resha. He said, my son Elazar, would you like me to start creation all over again? Are you not happy with the way I'm running the world? Are you not happy? And again, we'll see that Ribono Shel Olam is asking a sincere question. If you want, I'll start this whole geshaft all over. I'll start from the beginning. I'll recreate from the beginning and maybe I'll get it better next time. Efshar demisyaldis bishaita demizoni. Maybe you'll be born literally into a time where food is more abundant, or maybe you'll be born into a wealthier family. Amr lekame, listen to the Amr. Amri, I said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Amri l'kameh, kulei hai ve'efsher. Now, it's interesting. Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas says, God, can you really do that? Can you really do that? Meaning, what he was really asking is, Ribono Shel Olam, would you really go to such length? If I were to say yes, would you really do this? Va'amri le d'chaye. Excuse me, Amri le. So again, interestingly enough, God doesn't answer that. Instead, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas asks another question. Amri le d'chaye tfei o d'chayina. So he asked a fascinating question. Tell me, Ribono Shel Olam, is more of my life behind me or in front of me? Meaning, do I have more years to live than what I've lived, or have I already lived more years than I'm going to live? Amar lei, dechayis. Kadosh Baruch Hu responds, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, you've lived more years than you are going to live. Meaning, more of your life is behind you than in front of you. Imkein, therefore, Elazar ben Pedas says, if that's the case, lo ba'ina. It's okay. Don't start again. Don't start again. If more of my years are behind me than in front of me, then I accept life for what it is and don't start again. Listen to this. Amr li, Kadosh Baruch Hu said to me, Bahai igra da amrit lo ba'ina. The fact that you did not ask of me to restart the world, Yahivna lecha alma da'asi, I'm going to give you a beautiful portion of the world to come. Tleisa naharusa demashcha afar simon, 13 rivers that flow with balsam oil, dachyon that are clear, kipras v'diglis, like the Euphrates and the Tigris, dema agnos buhu, and you'll be able to rejoice in them. So again, I will say, obviously this is all metaphorical. Kadosh Baruch was telling him that Lamais, I'm going to give you a beautiful Gan Eden. Because just so you should know, it's really amazing. What Elazar ben Pedas was saying is, the reason Kadosh Baruch Hu rewarded him is because sometimes we think that we know better than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I were to create the world, there wouldn't be hunger, there wouldn't be disease, there wouldn't be war. And the truth is, that's gaiva, that's arrogance. When man thinks that he could create a world better than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the fact that Elazar ben Pedas, to a certain degree, had the world in his hands. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm giving you, if you want to start again, we'll start again. Elazar ben Pedas ultimately says, Ribono Shel Olam, I bend my knee before you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that is paradigmatic emunah. That is belief. And because he exhibited that belief, because again, And remember, Elizabeth thus clearly had terribly abject circumstances, terrible, terrible circumstances. But yet he admits, Kadosh Baruch Hu knows better than me. You are the borei, bends his knee before God. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I appreciate that. And it says you'll have a beautiful Gan Eden. Interestingly enough, does not promise him an easy life. When Elizabeth does, he's going to go right back to a difficult life he had, but you will have a beautiful Gan Eden.
It's also interesting that it's after his question. He doesn't immediately say, no, never mind. It's more years in front of
him. 100%. He has to ask, how much more do I have in front of me? Which indicates to us that perhaps HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered that there's more in front of you than behind you. Maybe his answer would have been different. So the Gemara says, Vesulo. So interesting. So Elizabeth Badas hears this. That's great. 13 rivers of balsam oil is really good. But that's it? Yeah. Maybe a carving station, a little something. You know, what else? What else is there going to be? Amr Li. I heard that the first time and I dafka ignored it. Right. Amr Li. Ulechavrech Mayehivna. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, but if I give more to you, then what am I going to give your friend? Kadosh Baruch Hu says, there's got to be enough, so to speak, for everyone. So Amr V'ana Megavra Delesli Ba'ina. So Elizabeth Mdus says, listen, I'm not trying to go in and take anything from anyone else. I'm trying to take that which does not belong to the other. So Rashi points out, there are certain types of Rishoyim who lose their portion in the world to come. Those portions are given to the Tzadikim. So Elizabeth Mdus says, okay, I appreciate the 13 rivers of balsam oil, but just promise me that, give me also the additional portions of the Rishoyim who have already lost their portions. Machyon Be'iskutla Apusoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu flicked Elazar ben Pedas on the forehead with his fingers. Now this was a sign of divine affection. So he gave him like a tap. He gave him a tap on the forehead. Va'amar li, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Va'amar li Elazar, my son, giri beich giri. My arrows are upon you, my arrows. So again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu rejoiced with Elazar ben Pedas that he wanted Olam Haba so badly, and he flicked him a tap on the forehead. And Abosai, again, I'm sorry. That in Olam Haba, and Abosai, again, that tap on the forehead, that's what caused the light to emanate from Elazar ben Pedas's forehead. Rabbi Chama bar Chanina, Gazer Ta'anisa, Velo Asa Mitra. Rabbi Chama bar Chanina decreed a fast day, but yet rain did not come. So again, we'll say public fast day, no rain. So the people said to him, Amrulei, Vahar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Gazer Ta'anisa, Va'asi Mitra. It was always very helpful. So the people said to him, well, when Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi declared a fast day, it always used to rain. Right? So what does he say? Amrulehu, Ha'ana, Ha'ana, Ha'bar Levi. Good. I'm me. That's Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. I mean, what do you are? I'm not Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. But Amrulei Dinesi. Why don't you bring Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi here? Why don't you bring him together with me? Maybe we'll dive in together, and together we will soften or literally break the hearts of the Tzibor. The Asimitra, but Avon Rachami, Velo Asimitra. I'm sorry, let me read that again. Then Echavin Daitin, Evsha the Tarvit Ziburli Bayu, the Asimitra, but Avon Rachami, Velo Asimitra. Amrulehu, Nechaluhu, Shiava Mater Bishvilenu, Amrule, Hain, Amrakia Rakia. So we'll say again. So now you have Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, together with Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina, davening together. And they ultimately say to the general public, do we want us to daven on your behalf? They say yes. And what do they say? Amrakia Rakia, Kasi Panecha. They call out to the sky, to the heavens, Rakia Rakia, cover your face. Meaning, I will say that what that means is cover yourself with clouds. Let the rain clouds gather. Lo ichsi, the rain clouds didn't come. Amar kama azin pnei rakia, how brazen is the face of the sky. Ichsi va'asamitra. At that point in time, the sky filled with clouds and the rain came. Levi gazra ta'anisa, Levi declared a fast day. V'lo asamitra, but yet it did not rain. Amar lefan ribono shel olam. Levi said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Alisa v'yashavta b'marom. God, you have ascended to the heavens. Ve'ein atomerachim albanecho. And you no longer have compassion on your children. So Levi was quite chutzpahdik. So Levi said to Kadosh Baruch Hu, essentially, you have absented yourself from this world, and you no longer care about the needs of your children. Asa mitra, it began to rain. Ve'itla, and Levi became lame. Levi, something happened to Levi, something physically happened to Levi, that he became physically handicapped. Now again, the Gemara attributes this injury to what? to the chutzpah with which he spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amr Belazer, excuse me, Amr Belazer, Rabbi Belazer said, "Li'olam ayatiach adam dvar klapi mala." A person literally was translated, a person should never fling his words heavenward. Meaning, don't go ahead and speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a disrespectful fashion. Shari adam gadol ayatiach dvar klapi mala. There was a particular man, a great man, who flung or flinged? Flung?
Flung.
Right through, thank you. No, but flung sounds a little bit. He flunged it. He didn't throw it. Right? He flung it. It doesn't sound right. Okay. He threw, right? He spoke disrespectfully to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore v'itla, and he became lame. Umanu, and who is that? Levi. V'ha garmale. Is that true that that's why Levi became lame? V'ha Levi ach v'kida kamed Rebbe. But we know the story. Levi demonstrated kida. Rabbi said, kida is a type of prostration where a person ultimately is able to bow down pretty much only using their ankles and their thumbs. So if you could imagine, a person bows down from an erect position, straight down without bending their knees, rests themselves on their thumbs, and is able again to pull themselves back up like that. So Levi demonstrated that, but as a result of demonstrating it, he became lame. So which one was it? Was it the kida, or was it the disrespect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to which the Gemara says, Havaha Garmalei. Both contributed to his handicap. Rabbi Chiya bar Lulaini, Shaminu lahanach enani da'aka amri, Nesu v'nesi maya ba'amonu moav. Rabbi Chiya heard the clouds speaking to each other, and he heard them saying, let's go shower our rain upon Ammon and Moab. Amar the front of Ribono Shel Olam. So Rabbi Chiya was very upset. Chashbaruch Kishanasata Torah L'Amcha Yisrael. When you wanted to give the Torah, Chazarta Al Kol Umos Ha'olam V'lo Kibluha. You know, when you wanted to give the Torah, you went to all the nations, and no one else wanted to accept it. V'achshav Ata Nosin Lahem Mater. And now you're giving them rain. Shaduhacha. Bring the rain here in Eretz Yisrael. Shajua dachtayu, and amazingly enough, the rain began to fall in that very spot. Darsh Rabbi Chiya bar Lulaini. Rabbi Chiya bar Lulaini dashed. What's the meaning of the pasuk? Tzadik tzadik katamar yifrach keeres bavaron yiske. Literally, the tzadik will flourish like the date palm. You will grow tall like the cedar in Lebanon. Im ne'emar tamar la'amon ne'emar erez. V'im ne'emar erez la'amon ne'emar tamar. Why does the pasuk have to compare the tzaddik both to the date palm as well as to the cedar? Listen to this. So the Gemara says, ilu ne'emar tamar, if it would have just said the date palm, v'lo ne'emar erez, and not the cedar, hayisi omar, I would have said, ma tamar. Just like the date palm, ein giz o machlif, the trunk does not regenerate of the date palm. Af tzadik chas v'shalom in gizom machlif. Maybe the tzadik also does not regenerate. Rabbi Yosef Rashi points out that what does that refer to? Tchias ha-mesim. I might have thought that maybe the tzadik doesn't come back in tchias ha-mesim. Therefore, again, you have to compare the tzadik to the date palm. That just like the date palm. Just like the, excuse me, therefore we have to compare it to the eres, to the cedar. Just like the cedar regenerates, so too the tzaddik will experience tchias ha-mesim. Furthermore, lekach ne'emar eres, ilu ne'emar eres lo ne'emar tamar. And again, had we only compared the tzaddik to the cedar and not the date palm, I would have said, ma eres in osel peros. Remember again, a date palm does not bear fruit. The cedar does not bear fruit. Af tzadik chas shalom ein osa peros. So to maybe the tzadik does not go ahead and have peros. Rashi points out, what does it mean doesn't have peros? Rashi says, ein lo schar lo osid. Fruits refer to, again, reward in the world to come. I would have thought that perhaps the righteous don't have the same level of reward in the world to come. So again, l'kach ne'emar tamar. Therefore, again, the pasuk compares the tzadik to the tamar, to the daypam, which does bear fruit. V'ne'emar eres. So again, it's therefore both sides. We need both. So you have to compare it to the tamar. I have to compare tzadik katamar yifrat and daypam. Just like the daypam has fruit, so too again the tzadik will have fruit in the world to come. And you have to compare it to the cedar. Why? Just like the cedar, its trunk regenerates, so too the tzadik will regenerate and ultimately again have tchias ha-mesim. So the Gemara says, one second. V'ne'emar erez, you told me we have to compare the tzadik to the cedar. Erez gizo machlif, because again the cedar regenerates. Is that true? V'hatanya, but we learned halokeach ilan mecharav. Is actually very interesting halacha. If you purchase a tree from your friend to go ahead and lakotz to cut it down, meaning let's say I purchase a tree from you, but for lumber. So what's the halacha? I have rights to cut it down. However, you have to allow for the tree to regenerate, for the trunk to regenerate. Therefore, you can't cut it directly at the ground. You have to leave a little bit of the trunk. How much of the trunk do you have to leave? You have to leave at least a tefach of trunk. The kotzeitz bisdana shikma with a sycamore, shnei tefachim, two tefachim, bebesulas hashikma, literally a young, a virgin sycamore, shlosha tefachim, three tefachim, bikanim, or if you're harvesting reeds, ubigifanim, or vines, mina pekak ulemala, from the first knot. The knot refers, again, the reeds and the vines have a knot. From the first knot and above you could cut. Bidikalim, with palm trees, uba'arazim, and with cedar trees, chofer lemata umashrish. You could even dig up the roots. Why? Lefi she'en gizel machlif. So you're about to say, interestingly enough, so if you're cutting down a tree for wood, so you have to leave enough of the trunk that it can regenerate. But apparently now the Gemara is saying with a cedar tree, it does not regenerate. Therefore what? You can not only cut it all the way at the bottom, but what? You can even uproot it from its roots. So what do you see from here? The cedar doesn't regenerate. So it's a steer, it's a contradiction. You just said before, Ke'erez Bavanon Yiske, we compare the tzaddik ultimately to the cedar tree because the cedar regenerates, but here we're saying the cedar does not regenerate. Hachamay askinon b'shaymini arazim. It's a very simple answer. There are different types of cedar trees. Kedirama baravuna, darama baravuna, asara mini arazim heim. In fact, there are 10 different types of cedar trees. Shene emar, quotes over here, the pasuk from Yeshaya. Etein b'midbar, erez, shita, hados, et shemen, asim barava, barosh, titar. So again, the Navi describes 10 different types of trees, and they're all called erez. So the answer is, some types of erez regenerate, other types do not. Tan Rabbanan, Maaseh Rebbe Eliezer, but it's another amazing Gemara. Shegazar shlosh esrei ta'anios ala tzibor v'lo yardu gisham. So Rebbe Eliezer decreed 13 fast days on the tzibor, which can both say 13 is the 337 model. V'lo yardu gisham, but it still did not rain. So we'll say what happens. Now it's the end of the 13th fast. People are walking out. So the tzibor is walking out. And what happens? All right. So now 13 fasts have gone by. It still has not rained. Chof hei amud beis. About 12 lines down from the top. Tanur Rabban, right after the period. So the Gemara says, still did not rain. And interestingly enough, Rabbi Elazar sees the people are going home. So what happened? Amar lahem. Takantem kivar la'atzmecham. So we'll say it's an amazing story. Rabbi Elazar realized, why didn't it rain? It didn't rain because people weren't passionate about it. Because true people davened, but the truth is the davening was lip service. There was no passion. So people are just going to go home. Okay, whatever. It rains, doesn't rain. So Rabbi Elazar says to them, tell me, have you prepared graves for yourselves already? Meaning, again, guys, if it doesn't rain, we're going to die. So if you're already going home, so make sure you prepare graves for yourself. What happened? Everybody started crying. The yardu gishamim. And amazingly enough, what happened? It began to rain. The power of passionate prayer. Shuv ma'as Rabbi Eliezer. There was another episode of Rabbi Eliezer. Shayar lefnei ateva. He davened. He was a shliach tzibor. Va'amar esrim va'arba brachos. And he said the 24 brachos. Remember, that's the chazaras hashatz of a fast day. V'lo na'ane. And he was not answered. It didn't rain. Yard Rabbi Akiva. Listen to this. I will say a very important gemara. Rabbi Akiva went before the amid va'amar and he said, Avinu malkeinu. Our father, our king. Ein lanu melech elo ato. We have no king but you. Avinu malkeinu. Lemancho rachim alinu. Chesh Baruch Hu, for your sake, have compassion on us. V'yardu gishamim. And it began to rain. Habum ranini rabbanam. So we'll say, again, obviously, this caused a little bit of a stir because Rabbi Eliezer davened and he wasn't answered. Rabbi Akiva davened and he wasn't answered. So people assume that must mean that what? That Rabbi Akiva is greater than Rabbi Eliezer. So Yotzes Abasko Varm, Rabasko came out and said, Lo mipnei shezeh godlo mizeh. It's not because Rabbi Akiva was answered, bless you. He wasn't answered because he was greater than Rabbi Eliezer. Ella, we'll say, it's such a profound gemara. Ella shezeh ma'avir amidosav. Rabbi Eliezer might have been a greater Talmud Chacham. Rabbi Eliezer might have been a greater Moreh Torah. But at the end of the day, Rabbi Akiva was a more forgiving person. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Eliezer, Ma'avir Amidosav means, again, he was just a forgiving individual. He didn't hold grudges. He didn't maintain anger. Even when somebody wronged him, he was forgiving. Because he was forgiving, therefore his tefillos were answered. I also just want to point out, this Gemara is the makar for the tefillah of Avinu Malkeinu. This is the only mention in entire Shas of Avinu Malkeinu. And again, remember, this is the paradigm. Obviously, there's only one Avinu Malkeinu in this Gemara, but this served again as the paradigm for when Avinu Malkeinu was created to go ahead and create this tefillah, all from Rabbi Akiva. All from Rabbi Akiva. I also, again, just also you see this incredible, just as an esod, important idea. Why is Rabbi Akiva get answered because of Avraham Midosav? The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says, based on the pasuk in Tehillim, Hashem Tzilcha, Kadosh Baruch Hu is our shadow. Is our shadow, which means that the way we act is the way God acts towards us. So why does the Kadosh Baruch Hu withhold the rain? The Gemara says, why is rain withheld? Because of the sins of the people. That's why rain is withheld, because of the negative behavior of the populace. So essentially, the Gemara is saying is like this. Rabbi Akiva, who was a very forgiving person, if Rabbi Akiva is forgiving, then the Ribono Shalom is forgiving as well. If you're not forgiving of others, then the Ribono Shalom is not going to be forgiving of you. The way you act is the HaKadosh Baruch Hu will act towards you. So Rabbi Eliezer was a greater Talmud Chacham, but for whatever the reason, he was not a forgiving individual. Rabbi Akiva comes down, davens to the Amid, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes his cue from Rabbi Akiva, Shem Tzilcha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives the people, rain falls. Turn up on him. I must say, Gisham Yardim, Atzir, Poskim, Misanim. I both say, now we're moving towards a different discussion. Now, how much rain has to fall in order for the fast to stop? Meaning, let's say that the people are fasting because it's not rainfall, and it begins to rain. Obviously, you're not going to stop your fasting at the first drizzle, because, again, you need enough rain for it to be able to make an impact on the agriculture. So how much rain do you have to get in order to stop fasting? So the Gemara says, Kimole Baruch HaMacharisha, enough rain to penetrate the depth of the blade of the plow. These words are Meir. Chum say, Bechareva, Tefach, if the soil is dry, it has to penetrate the soil one tefach. Bebeinonis, the average soil tefachayim, two tefachim. Ba'avuda, with soil that has already been plowed, shlosha tefachim, three tefachim. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon says, Ein lecha tefach milamalo, she'ein tom yoti likraso shlosha tefachim. Rabbi say, when it rains from above, the waters from the Tehom come up three tefachim. So for every one tefach of water that penetrates from above, three tefachim come up from below. I v'hatanya tefachim, but we have another brayso that says it's only two tefachim from the Tehom. Lo kash, not a contradiction, depends on the soil. Kan ba'avuda, one is worked soil. Kan b'shein avuda, one is not worked soil, unplowed soil. Amr b'lozer, k'shem minaschin asamayim b'chag, when we do nisuch hamayim, the water libation on Sukkis, Tehom omer lechavero, the Tehom b'lozer represents the waters of the deep, say to its friend, ave memecha, or abia memecha, literally gush forth your water. Kol shnei reim ani shomea, I hear the voice of two friends, shene emar, Tehom el Tehom kore, one depth calls out to the other depth, lekol tzinurecha. Amr rabba said, l'didi, chazi li hai rigia, I saw the Malach Rijya. This is a particular angel that's also involved with rainfall and water. Domi le'igla. It looks like an eagle. It looks like a calf. Upirsa sifoseha. And again, I heard it say in it with its lips. V'kaima bein tohoma le'tzasa le'tohoma ila. It stands between the waters above and the waters below. Literally, the depths above and the depths below. What happens? L'tohoma ila amarle. And it says to the upper tome, to the upper waters, Chashur meimecha l'tohoma tisa. Sprinkle your waters upon the depths below. Amarle, Chashur meimecha l'tohoma tisa. Sprinkle your waters upon the depths below. Amarle, Ava meimecha shene emar. Hanitzonim niru ba'aretz. The blossoms were seen on the land. Okay. Hayumis anad yardu gisham called manei tzachama. So we'll say again, remember, now the Mishnah, a little bit back to our regular Gemara, now just for a little bit. So the Gemara says, remember, if they began to fast and it began to rain. So at what point in time in the day, meaning how far along, depending on when it began to rain, will determine should you finish the fast or not. So turn around on how you miss anin, if they were fasting, v'yardulam gisham, and it began to rain, kodim anitzcham, before sunrise, lo yashlima. So also remember, fast days begin at dawn. So remember again, there could be, depending on how you calculate dawn, but let's assume there's 72 minutes between dawn and sunrise. So let's say you began fasting at dawn, but then it began to rain before sunrise. So what's the halacha? Lo yashlimu. You don't have to finish the fast day. Meaning you should not finish the fast day. The fact that it began to rain so early, the prayers have been answered, don't finish fasting. La'achar neitzachama. But if it began raining after sunrise, yashlimu. You should finish the fast day. Divrei Rabbi Meir. These words are Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Kodim chatzos lo yashlimu. As long as it begins raining before midday, you need not finish the fast. La'achar chatzos, however, if it begins to rain after chatzos, yashlimu. You should finish the fast. Rabbi Yossi says, kodim teshos. Rabbi Yossi uses rises 9 hours of the day. If it begins to rain before 9 hours of the day, lo yashlimu, you need not finish the fast. However, li'achar tes shos, after 9 hours, yashlimu, you should finish the fast. Shekimatzinu ba'achav melech Yisrael, because you see by Achav, the king of Israel, Achav was very evil. But he was told by the Navi that his entire family was going to be wiped out. Shes ana mitesha shos lamala. And he began fasting from 9 hours and on. So you see from here that once a fast has reached 9 hours, lamaisa what? It's significant, and therefore you should continue the fast. Shene emar, because the pasuk says, "Hara Isa, have you seen ki nichna Achav, that Achav has humbled himself?" Rabbi Huda Nesia gazar tani sviyadu gisham la'achar nitzachamam. Rabbi Huda Nesia declared a fast because of lack of rain, and the rain began to fall after sunrise. Savar la'ashlu minhu. Rabbi Huda Nesia assumed it's after sunrise. Therefore, what we should finish off the fast. Amrali Rabbi Ami kodim chatzos va'akar chatzos shaninu. No, Rabbi Ami said, no, it's not true. That everything depends on before midday, after midday. If it begins to rain before midday, you need not finish the fast. But if it begins to rain after midday, you should finish the fast. Shmuel HaKatan Gazetani. So Shmuel HaKatan went ahead and declared a fast day. V'yardu lahem gishamim kodim ha'netzachama. And it began to rain before Netzachama. The people are very proud of themselves. They're very happy because they felt that that's a big shevach, it's a big praise to the congregation if the tefillos were answered so quickly. Amar lahem Shmuel HaKadosh said, not necessarily. Let me give you a mashal. Like a servant who wants something from his master. Amar lahem, and the king says to his attendants, Tnulo, just give it to him. Va'al eshma kolo, because I don't want to hear him. I don't want to hear his voice. Just give him what he wants and tell him that I don't want to hear him supplicating before me anymore. Shmuel HaKadosh, another story. Shmuel HaKadosh Gazatani. So Shmuel HaKadosh declared a fast day. V'yardu lahem gisham la'achar shkias achama. And it began to rain after sunset. There was also meaning at the end of the fast. So they fasted an entire day. After an entire day, and then it began to rain. So again, the people were proud of themselves. They felt that this was a sign that their tefillos were accepted. Amar lahem Shmuel, lo shevach shel tziboru. So Shmuel kind of said, no, it's not necessarily a good thing. Let me give you a mashal. This can be compared to a servant who wanted something from his master. And he said, and the master said, To the people, the master says to his servants, you know what? Let him suffer a little bit, and then we'll give him what he wants. So we'll say again. So poor Klal Yisrael. So Shmuel Kadonai, what do you want from us? So you know, if we daven and the rain comes in the morning, it's not a good sign because Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I don't want to hear from them, just give them what they want. And if the rain comes at the end of the day, then that's still not good because Kadosh Baruch Hu seemingly wants to make us suffer a little bit first before he gives us what he wants. So exactly when is it good? So what happens? So he says, Heichi dami. So shvacho shel tzibor heichi dami. So Shmuel Katan, tell me, in your view, when is it considered to be, meaning what type of situation would consider to be a praise for the congregation, meaning a good reflection on the congregation? So Shmuel Katan says the following, if Amar Mashiva Ruach v'neshav zeka, if when the shliach tzibor says, let the wind blow, and the wind begins to blow, and Amar Mori Dageshem, and when the Shliach Tzibor says, let it rain, v'asa mitra, and it begins to rain. If that happens, that's Shevach Shel Tzibor. Anything else, still might be divine displeasure with the Tzibor. Rose, what is Shmuel Katan saying? What Shmuel Katan is saying is, person always has to be ever vigilant. That even if your tefillos are answered, a person should not, because what could happen? A tzibor fasts and it begins to rain, whether it's in the morning or in the afternoon. So what could a tzibor very easily think? What do people think right now? Look at us, our tefillos are answered. All Shmuel HaKatan was saying was, unless you are on the level where when you say Mashiv HaRuach, the wind begins to blow, and you say Morid HaGeshem, and the rain begins to fall, unless you are on that level, always understand that there is room to improve. Always understand that there is work to be done. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered your tefillos, but don't get carried away with yourself. Unless, again, you could produce instantaneous results from above, there is always where to grow, there is always what to do. All right, the boss, we'll stop over here. Back of a regular Gemara.